KK4, NDE monitoring the Echolink.
Hey, Matt. Coming through just fine. N3WZUSC has a link on there. Interesting. What do you got set up?
I have one of the boxes that I built is just a simplex Echolink node. I am currently trying to fix. I plugged in my base radio and I proceeded to set the microphone down, turn around, and I'll be darned if I can find it again.
Huh, okay, interesting. it's got a little currency code on it, currency key when you unkey. Interesting. Sounds good.
Yeah, I can't say I've used this much. Not as much as I dreamed I would, but it's a nifty little box. It's just a little PC case with a Raspberry Pi and a Yaesu 7900 radio in it, with an internet connection. But it's handy because from inner rooms, I can't reliably hit the repeater with just a handheld. And actually, I found the battery on my handheld is running low, so I had to run the super low power, which probably doesn't go much farther than the property line.
Okay, very good. It sounds good. It's coming through good and clear. So this is your solution for getting in. That link works really well. I use my cell phone at times. I don't use my desktop or laptop much for Echolink anymore, but it did until I got a smartphone.
Yeah, back when I did it, I didn't really like the feel of using a phone, and also it sounded like a cool project to try and build. So there's something satisfying about clicking a push to talk button.
Yeah, that's understandable. Touch screen on the phone. It's nice, you know, with that being said, you got, your location there at the house, covered pretty well. Now, is it using 2 meter or using UHF or how are you doing this?
I picked a UHF, a 70 centimeter frequency. It's capable of doing either band. There's Comic-Cons that I've brought it to because there's ham radio people that are into that. And so I brought it as a way to help link some of the people who don't have or couldn't afford radios and were using Echolink with those of us that did have radios and didn't really want to use cell phones to keep in touch. And, well, since it was working, I just didn't bother to change the frequency because then I'd have to make another decision, you know?
Yeah, there's no problem with that. I mean, I had the DV4Mini doing the D-Star and C4FM and all that stuff. But the Echolink, I used the desktop one time. My laptop had it on there. Event speaker mic. And sometimes, depending on the microphone quality of the laptop, it's hard to get it, sounding good sometimes. I got a really old boom mic, and I bought a something blaster sound card 20 some odd years ago. It came with a microphone, 4 speakers, a subwoofer. And that microphone's still good. I've been using it for years. And I put that on my desktop not too long ago, running through it. A DV dongle, or some DV, and was able to do digital modes that way as well. But anyway, this works good for you. You know, the audio quality's good. Go ahead.
Yeah, it does seem to do the job quite nicely. So, I guess that's the important bit. As I say, I haven't used this system a whole lot with Echolink, so it's a learning experience, here it's mostly just, well, if everything, you know, weather's good, I have internet, I have power. It's a convenient way of not having to worry about, oh, I stepped sideways with a handheld. It's a cordless phone kind of sort of a deal, you know. It's not essential. I could get in other ways, but it's convenient.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I'm wondering, does the courtesy thing come from the handheld you're on, or is it part of the node you're using?
You know, I honestly don't know. It could be part of... It could be that I bumped the stupid Wires X thing on this Yaesu handheld. It could be something in the... Or it could be something on the repeater controller or something to indicate that it's done talking. Because sometimes that's hard to tell with an internet link. You don't really hear a squelch tail or anything.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a courtesy tone. When you like the key,
Yaesu VX6R. It's actually the first handheld that I've gotten when I got started, but I guess technically it's the second. The first one I had was a Yaesu VX5, but that blew up the first day I had my license. I was listening, I went to pick it up to talk, and the thing was too hot to touch, so this is the first one that I got that I really actually got to use. I got into the hobby, I don't know if you have the background on this. I got into the hobby because I used to like listening to scanners, and so I was looking for a radio that would be a reasonably acceptable scanner that also could be a ham radio if I wanted it to be.
All right, very good. Yeah, I think I've seen on the 6R, don't remember, I think transmitter, so going through a bunch of radio, but sound good. level size. This one, like I said, this one has more eyes in it, so probably in a car, if somebody's listening to you, they would probably prefer this audio over the other, but you can still hear it just fine. So, good stuff.
Yeah, listening to your signal is actually that I'm noticing the same thing. It's less bass and more highs as well listening to you. So that's probably something through the various circuitry. Might be able to fine-tune it a little. It's, I also haven't had much of a chance to use that EchoLink box since I rebuilt it. I had some issues with dirty contacts on the cheap audio cables that I got. So I redesigned it a bit, rebuilt it, soldered everything I could solder instead of just push-in plugs. And I had great plans over the summer to take it with me to an event and put it through its paces, and it got left at home. But also, if you go over to my website, kk4nde.com, up at the top there's a little section. It has a PISA recorder, and it uploads all of the conversations. It hears both sides to the website for listening. So you can go and maybe see how it sounds even different still from that, because that's from the perspective of the Raspberry Pi in this box, or in the box I was through.
Okay, very good. Just so you can hear the difference, I'm now using my cell phone through EchoLink, and you can probably hear some difference in the audio quality. Sometimes it actually sounds better through the phone because it's a better microphone than some of the radios. Under the 2820 that I was just talking on, I had to modify the microphone and put a capacitor on it and actually sell some of the highs off. It was too crisp and that. So here's what it sounded like on the cell phone. N3WZD.
Was definitely a little bit more higher pitches, slightly more teeny. I could tell a difference, but I could still understand you very easily, you know.
Okay, Matt, good stuff. Well, let me get off of here. I got to take care of a couple things. But it sounds like you get everything working well. So I'll talk with you later. N3WZU, clear to your final.
Okay, very good. And, also, if you later, if you can remember the kk4nde.com, kilo4, NovemberDeltaEcho.com. I also have a column under Hobby Project with pictures and descriptions of how I built that EchoLink box what all went into it. If you're curious to learn more, I haven't gotten around to writing up about DMR stuff and hotspots on my website yet. That's, when I have copious amounts of free time, I'll probably update it. I'll try and leave the rig powered up and listening in case you or somebody else wants to come back. And I'll be here tinkering away. KK4NDE monitoring.
KK4NDE W3 Hotel Delta Bravo.
Go ahead, KK4NDE.
Name here is Dan Delta Alpha November. And because the Maryland, I was just listening to your QSO about the EchoLink box. I have two hotspots, Zoom spots. And that's a pretty neat idea.
Okay, yeah, I vaguely have heard of the Zoom spot, but I haven't really messed with it. I don't know if you caught, I put info about it on my website, kk4nde.com, up at the top under Hobby Projects. The EchoLink box is just, DC 7900 with a Raspberry Pi and some custom interface filtering circuitry in between them. And it still seems to be a little PC case, so it was nicely. I can run about 10 watts without hurting anything with the antenna right basically on top of itself. I have, since the duty cycle can be pretty high, I have a fan that blows directly through the bottom of the radio's heat sink to help keep it cool and I try not to run it much more than about 10 watts, because if it's running potentially near 100% duty cycle, that probably wouldn't be good for the radio at the full 50 watts.
Right, so is it a node, or is it just for your personal use?
I registered as a simplex echolink node. It's running on 446.1 megahertz, and it just shows up as it's call sign is CP480-L in the system. But I use it for, like, at home, my personal use. If I want to use a handheld radio as a cordless microphone and speaker, basically, to talk on when I'm at the hair. If I'm standing in the right window, facing the right way with a handheld, I can hit this repeater system easily. But if I, say, wander downstairs to get something, then I fall off of the system. But I built it because I went to a couple of Comic-Cons, and there's a number of people that are hams, and not everyone had radios, so it's kind of a cool thing to bridge between the internet and the RF, and it was also an interesting learning experience, understanding how to build the interfaces and make everything work.
Right, and that's the part I enjoy, is learning, you know, how it connects and the setup behind it.
There's a section on my website there under hobby project that is high portable echo link node, what it's called. I went through what the requirements were that I came up with the software. I had an initial version, and then I upgraded it, and once I did a proof of concept, I got a dual band radio for it, and I think since I did this web guide, I've done a, I did a second version of it that didn't turn out quite as well, but I tried to miniaturize it. Too much RF can get back and crash the Raspberry Pi. I didn't get to put an update about, I changed from using the speaker output and microphone input to using the 6-pin data jack on the back of it. I've done a couple of minor tweaks, but it's still basically the same design overall.
I just got a bunch of interference. I don't know what that was about. But, I'm in, Mr. Peters in Calvert County.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the area, but I gather, somewhere nearby. But, I thought it was a cool project. Sometimes it works better than other times, but, I've messed a little bit with, I have a DMR hotspot that is Pi-Star, and I thought DMR would be more fun than it turned out to be, but, I don't know, I guess it serves purposes.
Yeah, I mean, that all depends on what you do with it, I guess. I'm active on DMR and Fusion. Maybe 25 in the future. I have Fusion hotspots, and thinking about making maybe an all-star node or something like that. It's all sorts of things. The thing with Echolink is it's like proprietary a little bit, but they all serve their own purposes.
Yep. And it's a cool thing to have. I have mixed feelings about the whole, you know, voice over IP versus radio, but it's another tool in the toolbox. I know some people have a special whatever for certain modes, just like I've heard some people have a special heat for TV. It's not something I'm going to use every day, but I want to have it just so that I have the option of using it should one day I find myself needing to.
Right, and also the you don't get like the interference that gets like if the repeater is running, you know, a digital mode. You don't get the some of the repeaters have they're near public safety transmitters and it kind of gets into the signal, but you don't really get that with the digital mode.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I used to live over by Mary Washington Hospital in Fredericksburg, and between, especially during storms, between the hospital pages, the emergency service dispatchers, and the weather service high power transmitter, I can easily identify any radio with a low quality receiver in it, because I'd be picking up everything all at once, no matter what frequency I tuned to. It was RF loop over there, so I can understand what you mean with that. But, yes. The problem I have with digital is it seems like, for the most part, the chest I've had, it sounds kind of like R2-D2. It breaks up and chops or whatever frequently. Instead of like on here with FM, if I'm on the fringe, okay, so there's a little bit of hash, I can still carry on a conversation through hash without a problem, but if I'm missing two-thirds of every word, it starts to become much more challenging if I just have silence for two-thirds out of every word or every other word.
Yeah. I see that. Yeah. With some of the digital modes, you can get, I got into a repeater like 35 miles away on a handheld, and it was just like I was right next to the repeater. So, and it depends on the digital mode as well, because they each have their own properties and air threats and all that stuff. And I like learning about that as well. So, yeah, another aspect.
Oh yeah, definitely. The repeater book says I'm like 15 miles from the Fredericksburg DMR repeater, and like 17 or so from one up in some other hill or hole or something, Maryland. And the Maryland one, I think hear but not hear. I'm not completely clear on that. The Fredericksburg one, if I stand in a certain window on a certain side of the house, I can get in 50% of the time. But the only time I've had any kind of a semi-able connect is when I get out and set up I think it's a 5 or 6 element baggie on a tripod and try to get a gain just right. Any kind of any other antenna just doesn't do it for me. Where with FM it seems much more forgiving.
W3HDB. Yeah. I have a base antenna on the roof. And I do want to raise it up another max level. But I need to secure it a bit more. But if I can get that antenna up another 10 or 15 feet, I could probably get into like a lot more repeaters. I
I can get into about 37 repeaters on EHF and about 35 on UHF. It's a Diamond X300, 10-foot dual band 2-meter 440. How much power do you have to run to do that? I know with the digital, the radios that I've been able to find anything at all in my price range are like handheld type there. With the exception of this radio, which is a D-Star, because it's an ICOM 7100, so almost all bands, but the DMR ones are handheld, so they max out at 5-ish watts, of course. I don't know if the tower is consistently hearing me. I know I'm not consistently hearing the tower no matter what I use. I've also tried putting them on the same antennas, but I've got an antenna at either end of the attic here, dual band antennas. One of them I'm using to talk to you right now. I've got a quarter wave ground plane for a 70 centimeter about in the middle of the attic, and then I've got rubber ducks and mag mounts. I haven't found anything that works reliably for anything DMR, but then I finally caved and got a hot spot.
Yeah, so I had the same issue. It's really flaky, and all the repeaters that I can get to are really in Virginia, on the DMR versus Virginia network, which is, connected to DMR Mark, I believe. And the ones in Maryland, they're like, on some of them are personal repeaters and stuff, so I can hit, however, the Thermont Maryland repeater. So that's quite a distance, but that's a VHF repeater. It's like 147.195, I think. And I can hit that with a focal antenna. But it's always, I always try and use a hotspot because, I'm not tying up the repeater and, I can just do whatever with it. And, you can get a cheap mobile DMR analog radio for a couple $100s, like the Kinect System CS800D, which is a dual band 2-meter 440 analog and DMR radio.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one, so they have to look that up. The one I have that I like more is Radiodity GD77. It's one of the Chinese ones, but the internet teardown suggests it's actually made by PYT, and people have determined that much of the circuitry seems to be almost a clone of the TYT MD380-ish. It's a dual band, so it's slightly different, but people have determined the charger circuit is identical to the TYT-380. There's some TYT model number that is embedded in the firmware when people have dumped it. It appears in every way to be a rebranded of one of the slightly less popular TYT radios, but I guess in other countries, maybe that particular TYT model is extremely popular.
Oh yeah, there's all sorts of knockoffs and, I'm actually thinking of getting the MD-UV390, which is a dual, it's basically a dual band MD-380, and I think it's a little higher power. I think it might be 7 watts, not sure, that's the check. And that would probably be my last handheld that I would get. And I'm thinking of getting a Motorola XTR 5550T for the car. depending, you can get them in UHF or VHF, but this one's UHF. That's a DMR analog. And it's really nice. I mean, the speaker is loud. It has all these audio options on it. The only downside is you can't load the user database into it. Because, you know, it's a business radio and it wasn't really meant for that.
Yeah, my understanding is that database has gotten so big that there aren't really any radios that fit the whole thing anymore. And now that, I guess, registration is no longer done through DMR mark, they're not being changed to list maybe, and I'm unclear if there is a place to get the dump of it anymore. I did a search for the GD77 that I have. People have determined the code plug starts with a header that says MD-360P, which people are suspecting in other countries there's a Tegera MD-360 and 360P that apparently is like there's an Australian website that has reviews of it. So maybe it's just a dual being international flavor of EMR radio that they rebranded and sent to the U.S. But I know the audio quality, when it works, seems to be very good. And I've tried it on FM, and I had more than one person tell me it sounded like I was in my car and I swapped back and forth. And people told me it sounded exactly the same as the Yuzu mobile radio that I normally run in my car, just very slightly lower power. So, you know, it doesn't seem to be a bad radio. I think it's just that I seem to live on the fringe of everything. And probably the times I use ham radio is when I'm shooting the breeze driving down the road. And the hotspot isn't really practical for that, especially out here in King George, where it's not uncommon to have 50 to 80% packet loss on cellular data.
53 HDB. Oh, yeah, that could be a problem. I hope it doesn't do that on the voice. But, I guess I'm lucky and unlucky I live near the city. But, then consequently there's a lot of traffic. So, I guess, the hotspot would only work if you would get maybe 90-95% coverage. See what else. If you had a mobile, you could get higher power out. I mean, you could get some of the repeaters on high power at 50 watts.
Yeah, I toyed with that. The other thing, I'm not entirely sure that people really use the TMR that much. I can put the Chinese radio into monitor mode and monitor everything on a time slot, and it's dual receive, so I can put one of the receives on time slot one on time slot two, put them both in monitor, and effectively monitor everything. But I frequently, when I've done that, hear absolutely no traffic at all. I don't know if it's just there's no one on that repeater, or it's really that quiet. Because one of the things I hope to do before I spend a whole massive amount of money on a higher power, fancier radio was, I assume I should be able to hear it even if I can't talk to it.
Right, so that's where DMR is a little different. A lot of those talk groups are triggered talk groups, so you would have to key up on them, and they're active for 15 minutes. So just by monitoring it, you're only going to hear local traffic, which is probably not a lot. but if you were to key up on worldwide, let's say, then you'd start hearing it. But if you just tune in, you're probably not going to hear anything.
Okay, maybe that's part of it then, but yeah. I guess I'm still very used to the FM type stuff, because I got started with a scanner. The idea was I'd sit there and listen basically until there was something interesting, and then I'd pay attention to it. I could just sort of let it sit in the background. Like right now I'm fiddling around with stuff to work on my trains, and I'll leave the radio on all day, and if there's someone to talk to, there's someone to talk to. If there isn't anyone to talk to, I'll just leave it on in the background. And, it's opportunistic chat, not necessarily a planned, okay, I'm going to sit down here for half an hour and make contacts or whatever.
Right. So, if you were to get a hotspot, or if you already have one, you could use your GD77 and just key up on a bunch of different talk groups on a hotspot, and then you'd be able to listen to it because it wouldn't time out, and you could park it on like Worldwide or something, 91. And, they do keep a database. It's radioid.net. Radioid.net. And, it's about at 115,000 or something like that. And there are some radios that can do 150,000 database contacts. So, I was actually looking at the Olinco CJ 5. MD5 or something like that. It's the Olinco's first DMR radio. So I'm kind of looking at that to see what the reviews are on that. It just came out.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm imagining probably a fair penny for the price. That's one of the better brands. I guess that's my other reservation with some of these, is that I tend to sit there and overanalyze anything more than about $100 worth of a purchase, and I'll still sit there and contemplate for a while anything that's more than 30 or 40. And it's a chicken and the egg, it sounds like. You need a radio that's good enough to use it to talk on the repeater so you can keep it active enough to find out if there's anything to hear. But at the same time, if I don't want to invest in something that's good enough to talk on it until I can hear if there's something to talk about on there, I'm never going to get anywhere.
Well, what you could do is you could figure out which repeater you can get into, the DMR or whatever, and you could look at like repeater books to see what talk groups that repeater carries, and then key up on one of the talk groups and just listen. And if you can get a mobile radio for about the same price as a handheld, I see what you mean. I guess I'm just really into digital mode. So, it's just, I just find it really fascinating.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in a passive curiosity, but it seems very easy to, like in my car when I'm driving, I'll have my EZU 800, one half of it sitting on the calling frequency, and the other half I'll have sitting scanning maybe half a dozen repeaters. And I may call out on one or two of them that I'm out and about, but then I'll put it into scan mode if nobody comes back, and increase my odds of hearing something. And it still seems more like you. I guess it is derived from a business radio thing where they are, you know, the security guards sitting on the security panel and the receptionist or whatever is sitting on their management channel or whatever, the janitor's on the janitorial channel, and they don't really, they're in a place and they're not just, oh, let's see what's out there. So I think I understand why it's designed the way it is, but I want to like it, but it doesn't seem to do what I expect or hope, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I don't really know what you're looking for, but, yeah, I mean, if you just park it on 91 worldwide, that's a really interesting talk group. You'll get people all over the world on that, and it's pretty active all day and night. So, I usually leave it on that when I'm, you know, just listening, and, you know, get people from Australia, you know, there was somebody from Malta, and just everywhere, and it's been really interesting to listen to, and make a few contacts here and there.
Is 91 or 1? I thought worldwide was the worldwide and North American and whatnot were like single-digit talk groups, if I remember correctly. I don't have to list in front of me.
So on DMR Mark repeaters, it's talk group 1. But if you didn't have a hotspot, you connect to Brandmeister, it's 91. But they're linked together, so it's just the same with a different number.
Okay. Yeah, it's all very confusing starting out. I actually spent a couple hours sitting at the air with a gentleman from Charlotte helping me and a couple other people just get set up enough to work at all. Although he was in Virginia, so he was on the DMRVA system, and, you know, it's like, I think some of the repeaters may have I've read that there's like echo back or an audio test group that you can try and use, but I'll be darned if I can figure out how to make most of them work. I can make it work on my hotspot, and when I'm in Fredericksburg, I can make it work fairly reliably on the Fredericksburg DMR machine, but most of them, I must have a wrong setting somewhere. You know, I think with the DMRVA, I think it has to be a group thing with my hotspot. It has to be a private call. I've heard 3 or 4 different talk group IDs or radio IDs, whatever, that you're supposed to call to for the self-test thing. And they seem poorly documented at best, and everything assumes that I've also ended up in a couple of arguments on forums looking for support where someone says, no, the way you have to do it is like this, and it's like, well, that's not what the local people here say, and it's working for them, so it can't be too wrong.
Yeah, so in the end, it all comes down to the local repeater and how they have that repeater configured. So, you are correct in that, yeah, I mean, generally, there is a way of doing it, but if the repeater is not set up that way, then it's, you know, they get to choose which talk groups they carry. So, but there is a list, and there's a matrix of talk groups that each one carries and things like that. And some of the repeaters carry, there'll be a group of repeaters. Like, there's a Delmarva talk group, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, and that's only on the linked repeaters. It's not, you can't access it on a hotspot. So, that's actually a really nice talk group, because goes all the way up to like Delaware and you know, all over. So I like that one. But I can only get it on the Thermont machine because there's the repeater has to carry the talk-through.
I've encountered that a bit as well. There was someone, when I finally got things dialed in to work on the Fredericksburg repeater, which is DMRVA, there was someone online that I coordinated with to try and dial things in, and we got on TAC 310 because it was quiet, and we were starting to have good success, and then someone else jumped in on some other local talk group, and you know, we couldn't even get through to say goodbye and fire or anything, or ID, because it was just all of a sudden the machine, it's like, I guess maybe along with assigning it, you get to assign a priority or something. It decided I didn't matter anymore, and it locked in on the other people. But I was actually over near Fieldston in northwestern St. George, and I didn't have any way to use anything other than the repeater at that point.
Right. So what probably happened is somebody came up on a local talk group that was on the same time slot as you were, whatever time slot TAC 310 was on, and I believe the local talk groups have a higher priority than the triggered talk groups like TAC 310. It's just because it's set up that way, because if they were to allow TAC 310 to just run and run and run, that's a talk group that's really active, it'll lock up the whole time slot. So that's why they have it as triggered. And then when it's triggered, it'll only operate for, depending on the repeater, 5 to 10 to 15 minutes without you keying up. In case you, like, key it up and drive off, and then it's stuck on that talk group, and it's tying up the whole time slot. So it's kind of a balance when you're in a repeater environment, and that's why I like the hotspot, because you have exclusive access to your hotspot. You're not in contention with anyone else to use the hotspot. It's just you. So, and also you're not tying up a repeater. So, and you can access any talkers you want, not just whatever the route happens to carry. So, but then, you know, you don't get the less regional stuff that you would on the repeater. So it's a little trade-off. But, yeah, I'm able to get on, like, Virginia and Maryland on the hotspot and talk to people that are on the repeater. I do that quite often. And I think, like, once people get over the confusion, it's really not complicated. It's just maybe, like, I know in the beginning I was totally lost. And then I learned it, and then it started making sense to me. I'm like, oh, okay, that's why this, you know. So, yeah, in the beginning it's like, well, what is this stuff? I know what it's you can be confusing. W3HTV.
Yeah, and I think I'm sort of on the on the edge of, I sort of get it, but I at the same time sort of don't, if that makes sense. And it's like I get that you wouldn't want to have a talk group just locked out because the internet site is active, but at the same time it seems odd that, you know, if I'm in the middle of talking to someone and I'm on the RF side, all of a sudden picking up and giving it to someone priority, then I guess I'm used to, like, typically, you know, if that's a frequency they use, generally the people who are already there traditionally get priority. You know, if we're in the middle of a conversation, somebody else doesn't necessarily just break in and start talking over top of us and push us completely off or whatever.
Right, and I'm not exactly sure what happened in that scenario. I do know that some of the DMRVA repeaters have a clear time slot talk group where it's like if you key up on, let's say, TAC 310 and you're done with it and you want to key up on a different talk group on that, let's say it's time slot 2, but if time slot 2 has already been is in use, then you would key up on the clear time slot group, which would tell the repeater to drop that talk group so it's not tying up the time slot. So it's, I don't know exactly what happened, but normally it doesn't happen that way.
Okay, maybe that was some sort of an odd anomaly then. It's definitely a learning curve, and I guess on the flip side, because of how it works, where you're effectively on the same frequency and time slot and color and whatnot, on the same frequency and time slot and color, but potentially a different talk group, from what I understand, the only ratios that you can really kind of going to monitor and make sure that the frequency is clear is the Chinese radios. From what I gathered, like if you have a Motorola or something, there may not be an easy way to tell if the frequency is already in use or not before you try to use it. So that's, you know, it's not as simple as, you know, even like this FM radio, I can hit a button and unmute the 12th no matter what settings and make sure no one else is talking before I start talking.
Right, so that would be something like promiscuous mode where it doesn't really care about the talk group. However, like, what you would do is you would program in all the talk groups of the repeater and you can either put them in a scan list and, or not, and but you'll still be able to see that the signal strength is on, is like, you know, full bars or half bars, and that'll tell you whether somebody's talking, because if there was nobody talking, you wouldn't see anything. But yeah, you're right in that, so like, the commercial radios don't have that capability. I kind of use my MD380 as like a caller ID, and then and I use it as well, and then sometimes it's used the Motorola on a talk group where I have all my contacts that are already in it, or I knew who they are and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. I'm also starting to get into ETF now, so I'm working on my general class. Been a technician for too long.
I ended up upgrading to extra class. My biggest motivation was I'm also a volunteer examiner, so I can go and help with the exam sessions and whatnot if needed when they happen. That was a lot of my motivation to upgrade. I've had mixed results on HF. One of the first times I got on to attempt to contest, I was excited. I found somebody that was calling CQ. I'm still learning filters, so I figured out how to dial the filters in so I could hear them really clear, and they were still out there calling CQ, and I responded, and some other third person gets on and yells at me, time I had spent a couple of hours trying to set stuff up where I was going to work and, you know, make sure everything was good, figure out how to tune stuff, and that just sort of killed a lot of my interest that particular session. I've done a couple of HF Digital field days with the Rappahannock Valley Club. I've done field day digital modes twice, and that was pretty fun. A little bit of a difficulty since there was lots of other stations nearby with strong signals, but I found that much more enjoyable than the voice side of things on HF.